This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This reading by Annie Coleman. www.anniecoleman.com. The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. Translated by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Inferno, Cantos 6 to 10. Inferno, Canto 6. At the return of consciousness that closed before the pity of those two relations which utterly with sadness had confused me, new torments I behold, and new tormented around me, whichsoever way I move and whichsoever way I turn and gaze. In the third circle am I of the rain, eternal, maledict, and cold and heavy. Its law and quality are never new. Huge hail and water somber-hued and snow athwart the tenebrous air pour down amain. Noisome the earth is that receiveth this. Cerberus, monster cruel and uncouth, with his three gullets like a dog, is barking over the people that are there submerged. Red eyes he has, an unctuous beard, and black, and belly large, and armed with claws his hands. He rends the spirits, flays and quarters them. Howl, the rain maketh them like unto dogs. One side they make a shelter for the other. Oft turn themselves, the wretched reprobates. When Cerberus perceived us, the great worm, his mouths he opened and displayed his tusks. Not a limb had he that was motionless. And my conductor, with his spans extended, took of the earth, and with his fists well filled, he threw it into those rapacious gullets, such as that dog is, who, by barking, craves, and quiet grows soon as his food he gnaws, for to devour it he but thinks and struggles. The like became those muzzles, filth-begrimed, of Cerberus, the demon, who so thunders over the souls that they would fain be deaf. We passed across the shadows, which subdues the heavy rainstorm, and we placed our feet upon their vanity, that person seems. They all were lying prone upon the earth, excepting one who sat upright as soon as he beheld us passing on before him. "O thou that art conducted through this hell," he said to me, "recall me if thou canst. Thyself wast made before I was unmade." And I to him, "The anguish which thou hast perhaps doth draw thee out of my remembrance, so that it seems not I have ever seen thee. But tell me who thou art that in so doleful a place art put, and in such punishment if some are greater, none is so displeasing." And he to me, "Thy city, which is full of envy, so that now the sack runs over, held me within it, in the life serene. You citizens were wont to call me Chiacco, for the pernicious sin of gluttony. I, as thou seest, am battered by this rain. And I, sad soul, am not the only one, for all these suffer the like penalty for the like sin." And word no more spake he. I answered him, "Chiacco, thy wretchedness weighs on me, so that it to weep invites me. But tell me, if thou knowest, to what shall come the citizens of the divided city, if any there be just, and the occasion tell me why so much discord has assailed it." And he, to me, "They, after long contention, will come to bloodshed, and the rustic party will drive the other out with much offence. Then, afterwards, behoves it this one fall within three suns, and rise again the other, by force of him who now is on the coast. High will it hold its forehead a long while, keeping the other under heavy burdens, howe'er it weeps thereat, and is indignant. The just are two, and are not understood there. Envy and arrogance and avarice are the three sparks that have all hearts enkindled." Here ended he his tearful utterance, and I to him, I wish thee still to teach me, and make a gift to me of further speech. Farinata and Teggio, once so worthy, Jacopo Rusticucci, Arrigo and Mosca, and others who on good deeds set their thoughts. Say where they are, and cause that I may know them, for great desire constraineth me to learn, if heaven doth sweeten them, or hell in venom. And he, they are among the blacker souls, a different sin down weighs them to the bottom, if thou so far descendest, thou canst see them. But when thou art again in the sweet world, I pray thee, to the mind of others bring me, no more I tell thee, and no more I answer. Then his straightforward eyes he turned askance, eyed me a little, and then bowed his head. He fell therewith prone like the other, blind. And the guide said to me, He wakes no more. This side the sound of the angelic trumpet, when shall approach the hostile potentate, each one shall find again his dismal tomb, shall reassume his flesh and his own figure, shall hear what through eternity re-echoes. So we passed onward, o'er the filthy mixture of shadows and of rain, with footsteps slow, touching a little on the future life. Wherefore I said, Master, these torments here, will they increase after the mighty sentence, or lesser be, or will they be as burning? And he, to me, Return unto thy science, which wills that as the thing more perfect is, the more it feels of pleasure and of pain. Albeit that this people maledict to true perfection never can attain, hereafter more than now they look to be. Round in a circle by that road we went, speaking much more, which I do not repeat. We came unto the point where the descent is. There we found Plutus, the great enemy. Inferno, Canto 7. Pape Satan, Pape Satan, Aleppe! Thus Plutus with his clucking voice began, and that benignant sage who all things knew, said, to encourage me, Let not thy fear harm thee, for any power that he may have shall not prevent thy going down this crag. Then he turned round unto that bloated lip, and said, Be silent, thou accursed wolf, consume within thyself with thine own rage. Not causeless is his journey to the abyss. Thus it is willed on high, where Michael wrought vengeance upon the proud adultery. Even as the sails inflated by the wind, involved together, fall, when snaps the mast, so fell the cruel monster to the earth. Thus we descended into the fourth chasm, gaining still farther on the dolesome shore, which all the woe of the universe ensacks. Justice of God, ah, who heaps up so many new toils and sufferings as I beheld, and why doth our transgression waste us so? As doth the billow there upon Charybdis, that breaks itself on that which it encounters, so here the folk must dance their round delay. Here saw I people, more than elsewhere, many, on one side and the other, with great howls, rolling weights forward by main force of chest. They clashed together, and then at that point, each one turned backward, rolling retrograde, crying, Why keepest? And why squanderest thou? Thus they returned along the lurid circle, on either hand unto the opposite point, shouting their shameful meter evermore. Then each, when he arrived there, wheeled about, threw his half-circle to another joust, and I, who had my heart pierced, as it were, exclaimed, My master, now declare to me, what people these are, and if all were clerks, these shaven crowns upon the left of us. And he to me, All of them were asquint in intellect in the first life, so much that there with measure they no spending made. Clearly enough their voices bark it forth, whene'er they reach the two points of the circle, where sunders them the opposite defect. Clerks those were who no hairy covering have on the head, and popes and cardinals in whom doth avarice practice its excess. And I, My master, among such as these, I ought forsooth to recognize some few who were infected with these maladies. And he to me, "Vain, thought thou, entertainest, the undiscerning life which made them sordid, now makes them unto all discernment dim. Forever shall they come to these two buddings. These from the sepulchre shall rise again, with the fist closed, and these with tresses shorn. Ill-giving and ill-keeping the fair world have taken from them, and placed them in this scuffle, whate'er it be. No words adorn I for it. Now canst thou, son, behold the transient farce of goods that are committed unto fortune, for which the human race each other buffet. For all the gold that is beneath the moons, or ever has been, of these weary souls could never make a single one repose. Master, I said to him, now tell me also, what is this fortune which thou speakest of, that has the world's goods so within its clutches? And he to me, O creatures imbecile, what ignorance is this which doth beset you? Now will I have thee learn my judgment of her. He whose omniscience everything transcends, the heavens created, and gave who should guide them, that every part to every part may shine. Distributing the light in equal measure, he, in like manner to the mundane splendors, ordained a general ministress and guide, that she might change at times the empty treasures from race to race, from one blood to another, beyond resistance of all human wisdom. Therefore one people triumphs, and another languishes, in pursuance of her judgment, which hidden is, as in the grass, a serpent. Your knowledge has no counterstand against her. She makes provision, judges, and pursues her governance, as theirs the other gods. Her permutations have not any truce. Necessity makes her precipitate. So often cometh who his turn obtains. And this is she who is so crucified, even by those who ought to give her praise, giving her blame amiss and bad repute. But she is blissful, and she hears it not, among the other primal creatures gladsome. She turns her sphere, and blissful she rejoices. Let us descend now unto greater woe. Already sinks each star that was ascending when I set out, and loitering is forbidden. We crossed the circle to the other bank, near to a fount that boils, and pours itself along a gully that runs out of it. The water was more somber far than purse, and we, in company with the dusky waves, made entrance downward by a path uncouth. A marsh it makes, which has the name of Styx. This tristful brooklet, when it has descended down to the foot of the malign gray shores. And I, who stood intent upon beholding, saw people, mud besprent in that lagoon, all of them naked and with angry look. They smote each other not alone with hands, but with the head and with the breast and feet, tearing each other piecemeal with their teeth. Said the good master, Son, thou now beholdest the souls of those whom anger overcame, and likewise I would have thee know for certain, beneath the water people are who sigh and make this water bubble at the surface, as the eye tells thee wheresoe'er it turns. Fixed in the mire, they say, we sullen were in the sweet air which by the sun is gladdened, bearing within ourselves the sluggish reek. Now we are sullen in this sable mire. This hymn do they keep gurgling in their throats, for with unbroken words they cannot say it. Thus we went circling round the filthy fen, a great arc twixt the dry bank and the swamp, with eyes turned unto those who gorged the mire. Unto the foot of a tower we came at last. Inferno, Canto 8. I say, continuing, that long before we to the foot of that high tower had come, our eyes went upward to the summit of it, by reason of two flamelets we saw placed there, and from afar another answer them, so far that hardly could the eye attain it. And to the sea of all discernment turned, I said, What saith this, and what respondeth, that other fire? And who are they that made it? And he to me, Across the turbid waves what is expected thou canst now discern, If reek of the morass conceal it not. Cord never shot an arrow from itself that sped away athwart the air so swift as I beheld a very little boat come o'er the water towards us at that moment, under the guidance of a single pilot, who shouted, Now art thou arrived, fell soul! Phlegyas, Phlegyas, thou criest out in vain, for this once, said my lord, thou shalt not have us longer than in the passing of the slough. As he who listens to some great deceit, that has been done to him, and then resents it, such became Phlegyas in his gathered wrath. My guide descended down into the boat, and then he made me enter after him, and only when I entered seemed it laden. Soon as the guide and I were in the boat, the antique prow goes on its way, dividing more of the water than 'tis wont with others. While we were running through the dead canal, uprose in front of me one full of mire, and said, Who art thou that comest here the hour? And I to him, Although I come, I stay not. But who art thou that hast become so squalid? Thou seest that I am one who weeps, he answered. And I to him, With weeping and with wailing, thou spirit maledict, do thou remain, for thee I know, though thou art all defiled. Then stretched he both his hands unto the boat, whereat my wary master thrust him back, saying, Away there with the other dogs! Thereafter with his arms he clasped my neck. He kissed my face, and said, Disdainful soul, blessed be she who bore thee in her bosom. That was an arrogant person in the world. Goodness is none that decks his memory. So likewise here his shade is furious. How many are esteemed great kings up there, who here shall be like unto swine in mire, leaving behind them horrible dispraises? And I, my master, much should I be pleased if I could see him soused into this broth, before we issue forth out of the lake. And he to me, Ere unto thee the shore reveal itself, thou shalt be satisfied. Such a desire 'tis meet thou shouldst enjoy. A little after that I saw such havoc made of him by the people of the mire that still I praise and thank my God for it. They all were shouting, At Filippo, Argenti! And that exasperate spirit Florentine turned round upon himself with his own teeth. We left him there, and more of him I tell not, but on mine ears there smote a lamentation whence forward I intent unbar mine eyes. And the good master said, Even now, my son, the city draweth near, whose name is Dis, with the grave citizens, with the great throng. And I, Its mosques already, master, clearly within there in the valley I discern vermilion, as if issuing from the fire they were. And he to me, The fire eternal that kindles them within makes them look red, as thou beholdest in this nether hell. Then we arrived within the moats profound that circumvallate that disconsolate city. The walls appeared to me to be of iron. Not without making first a circuit wide, we came unto a place where loud the pilot cried out to us, Debark! Here is the entrance. More than 1,000 at the gates I saw, out of the heavens rained down, who angrily were saying, Who is this that without death goes through the kingdom of the people dead? And my sagacious master made a sign of wishing secretly to speak with them. A little then they quelled their great disdain, and said, Come thou alone, and he be gone who has so boldly entered these dominions. Let him return alone by his mad road. Try if he can, for thou shalt here remain, who hast escorted him through such dark regions. Think, reader, if I was discomforted at utterance of the accursed words, for never to return here I believed. Oh, my dear guide, who more than 7 times hast rendered me security, and drawn me from imminent peril that before me stood, do not desert me, said I. Thus undone, and if the going farther be denied us, let us retrace our steps together swiftly. And that lord who had led me thitherward said unto me, Fear not, because our passage none can take from us. It by such is given. But here await me, and thy weary spirit comfort and nourish with a better hope, for in this nether world I will not leave thee. So onward goes, and there abandons me, my father sweet, and I remain in doubt, for no and yes within my head contend. I could not hear what he proposed to them, but with them there he did not linger long, ere each within in rivalry ran back. They closed the portals, those our adversaries, on my lord's breast, who had remained without, and turned to me with footsteps far between. His eyes cast down, his forehead shorn had he of all its boldness, and he said with sighs, Who has denied to me the dulsome houses? And unto me, Thou, because I am angry, fear not, for I will conquer in the trial, whatever for defense within be planned. This arrogance of theirs is nothing new, for once they used it at less secret gate, which finds itself without a fastening still. Or it didst thou behold the dead inscription, and now this side of it descends the steep, passing across the circles without escort, one by whose means the city shall be opened. Inferno, Canto 9. That hue which cowardice brought out on me, beholding my conductor backward turn, sooner repressed within him his new color. He stopped attentive like a man who listens, because the eye could not conduct him far through the black air and through the heavy fog. Still, it behoveth us to win the fight, began he. Else, such offered us herself, oh, how I long that someone here arrive! Well, I perceived, as soon as the beginning he covered up with what came afterward, that they were words quite different from the first. But none the less his saying gave me fear, because I carried out the broken phrase, perhaps to a worse meaning than he had. Into this bottom of the doleful conch doth any air descend from the first grade, which for its pain has only hope cut off? This question put I, and he answered me, Seldom it comes to pass that one of us maketh the journey upon which I go. True it is, once before I here below was conjured by that pitiless Erichtho, who summoned back the shades unto their bodies. Naked of me short while the flesh had been, before within that wall she made me enter to bring a spirit from the circle of Judas. That is the lowest region, and the darkest, and farthest from the heaven which circles all. Well know I the way, therefore be reassured. This fen, which a prodigious stench exhales, encompasses about the city dolent, where now we cannot enter without anger. And more he said, but not in mind I have it, because mine eye had altogether drawn me towards the high tower with the red flaming summit, where in a moment saw I swift uprisen the 3 infernal furies, stained with blood, who had the limbs of women and their mien, and with the greenest hydras were begirt, small serpents and cerastas were their tresses, wherewith their horrid temples were entwined. And he, who well the handmaids of the queen of everlasting lamentation knew, said unto me, Behold, the fierce Erinnys. This is Megara, on the left-hand side, she who is weeping on the right, Alecto. Tisiphon is between, and then was silent. Each one her breast was rending with her nails, that beat them with their palms, and cried so loud that I for dread pressed close unto the poet. Medusa, come, so we to stone will change him, all shouted, looking down. In evil hour avenge we not on Theseus's assault. Turn thyself round, and keep thine eyes close shut, for if the Gorgon appear, and thou shouldst see it, no more returning upward would there be. Thus said the master, and he turned me round himself, and trusted not unto my hands so far as not to blind me with his own. O ye who have undistempered intellects, observe the doctrine that conceals itself beneath the veil of the mysterious verse. And now there came across the turbid waves the clangor of a sound with terror fraught, because of which both of the margins trembled. Not otherwise it was than of a wind, impetuous on account of adverse heats, that smites the forest, and, without restraint, the branches rends, beats down, and bears away. Right onward, laden with dust, it goes, superb, and puts to flight the wild beasts and the shepherds. Mine eyes he loosed, and said, Direct the nerve of vision now along that ancient foam, there yonder where that smoke is most intense. Even as the frogs before the hostile serpent across the water scatter all abroad, until each one is huddled in the earth. More than 1,000 ruined souls I saw, thus fleeing from before one who on foot was passing o'er the Styx with souls unwet. Far off his face he fanned that unctuous air, waving his left hand oft in front of him, and only with that anguish seemed he weary. Well, I perceived one sent from heaven was he, and to the master turned, and he made sign that I should quiet stand and bow before him. Ah, how disdainful he appeared to me! He reached the gate, and with a little nod he opened it, for there was no resistance. O, banished out of heaven, people despised! Thus he began upon the horrid threshold. Whence is this arrogance within you couched? Wherefore recalcitrate against that will from which the end can never be cut off, and which has many times increased your pain? What helpeth it to bud against your fates? Your Cerberus, if you remember well, for that still bears his chin and gullet peeled. Then he returned along the miry road, and spake no word to us, but had the look of one whom other care constrains and goads, than that of him who in his presence is. And we our feet directed towards a city, after those holy words, all confident. Within we entered without any contest, and I, whose inclination had to see what the condition such a fortress holds, soon as I was within, cast round mine eye, and see on every hand an ample plain, full of distress and torment terrible. Even as at Arles, where stagnant grows the Rhone, even as at Pola, near to the Quarnaro, that shuts in Italy and bathes its borders, the sepulchres made all the place uneven, so likewise did they there on every side, saying that there the manner was more bitter. For flames between the sepulchres were scattered, by which they so intensely heated were, that iron more so asks not any art. All of their coverings uplifted were, and from them issued forth such dire laments, soothed seemed they of the wretched and tormented. And I, My master, what are all those people who, having sepulchre within those tombs, make themselves audible by doleful sighs? And he to me, Here are the heresiarchs, with their disciples of all sects, and much more than thou thinkest, laden are the tombs. Here, like together with its like, is buried, and more and less the monuments are heated. And when he to the right had turned, we passed between the torments and high parapets. Inferno, Canto 10. Now onward goes along a narrow path between the torments and the city wall, my master, and I follow at his back. O power supreme, that through these impious circles turnest me, I began, as pleases thee speak to me, and my longing satisfy. The people who are lying in these tombs, might they be seen? Already are uplifted the covers all, and no one keepeth guard. And he to me, they all will be closed up when, from Jehoshaphat, they shall return here with the bodies they have left above. Their cemetery have upon this side with Epicurus all his followers, who with the body mortal make the soul. But in the question thou dost put to me, within here shalt thou soon be satisfied, and likewise in the wish thou keepest silent. And I, good leader, I but keep concealed from thee my heart, that I may speak the less, nor only now hast thou thereto disposed me. O Tuscan, thou who through the city of fire goest alive, thou speaking modestly, be pleased to stay thy footsteps in this place. Thy mode of speaking maketh thee manifest, a native of that noble fatherland, to which perhaps I too molestful was. Upon a sudden issued forth this sound, from out of one of the tombs wherefore I pressed, fearing a little nearer to my leader. And unto me he said, Turn thee, what dost thou? Behold there, Farinata, who has risen from the waist upwards, holy shalt thou see him. I had already fixed mine eyes on his, and he uprose, erect with breast and front, even as if hell he had in great despite. And with courageous hands and prompt, my leader thrust me between the sepulchres towards him, exclaiming, Let thy words explicit be. As soon as I was at the foot of the tomb, somewhat he eyed me, and, as if disdainful, then asked of me, Who were thine ancestors? I, who desirous of obeying was, concealed it not, but all revealed to him, whereat he raised his brows a little upward. Then he said, Fiercely adverse have they been to me, and to my fathers in my party, so that two several times I scattered them. If they were banished, they returned on all sides, I answered him, the first time and the second, but yours have not acquired that art aright. Then there uprose upon the sight, uncovered, down to the chin, a shadow at his side. I think that he had risen on his knees. Round me he gazed, as if solicitude he had to see if some one else were with me. But after his suspicion was all spent, weeping, he said to me, If through this blind prison thou goest by loftiness of genius, where is my son, and why is he not with thee? And I to him, I come not of myself. He who is waiting yonder leads me here, whom in disdain perhaps your Guido had. His language and the mode of punishment already unto me had read his name. On that account my answer was so full. Up starting suddenly, he cried out, How saidst thou? He had. Is he not still alive? Does not the sweet light strike upon his eyes? When he became aware of some delay, which I before my answer made, supine he fell again, and forth appeared no more. But the other, magnanimous, at whose desire I had remained, did not his aspect change, neither his neck he moved, nor bent his side. And if, continuing his first discourse, they have that art, he said, not learned aright, that more tormenteth me than doth this bed. But 50 times shall not rekindled be the countenance of the lady who reigns here, ere thou shalt know how heavy is that art. And as thou wouldst to the sweet world return, say why that people is so pitiless against my race in each one of its laws. Whence I to him, The slaughter and great carnage which have with crimson stained the Arbia caused such orisons in our temple to be made. After his head he with a sigh had shaken. There I was not alone, he said, nor surely without a cause had with the others moved, but there I was alone, where every one consented to the laying waste of Florence, he who defended her with open face. Ah, so hereafter may your seed repose, I him entreated. Solve for me that knot which has tangled my conceptions here. It seems that you can see, if I hear rightly, beforehand whatsoever time brings with it, and in the present have another mode. We see, like those who have imperfect sight, the things, he said, that distant are from us. So much still shines on us the sovereign ruler. When they draw near, or are, is wholly vain our intellect. And if none brings it to us, not anything know we of your human state. Hence thou canst understand that wholly dead will be our knowledge from the moment when the portal of the future shall be closed. Then I, as if compunctious for my fault, said, "Now then, you will tell that fallen one that still his son is with the living joined. And if just now in answering I was dumb, tell him I did it because I was thinking already of the error you have solved me." And now my master was recalling me, wherefore more eagerly I prayed the spirit that he would tell me who was with him there. He said, "With more than 1,000 here I lie. Within here is the second Frederick, and the cardinal, and of the rest I speak not." Thereon he hid himself, and I towards the ancient poet turned my steps, reflecting upon that saying, which seemed hostile to me. He moved along, and afterward, thus going, he said to me, "Why art thou so bewildered?" And I, in his inquiry, satisfied him. "Let memory preserve what thou hast heard against thyself," that sage commanded me. "And now attend here," and he raised his finger. "When thou shalt be before the radiance, sweet, of her whose beauteous eyes all things behold, from her thou'lt know the journey of thy life." Unto the left hand then he turned his feet. We left the wall and went towards the middle, along a path that strikes into a valley, which, even up there, unpleasant, made its stench. End of section 2 of the Inferno, cantos 6-10. Recorded by Annie Coleman in St. Louis, Missouri, on October 1st, 2006.
This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri, translated by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Canto 11 through Canto 15. Inferno, Canto 11. Upon the margin of a lofty bank, which great rocks broken in a circle made, we came upon a still more cruel throng. And there, by reason of the horrible excess of stench the deep abyss throws out, we drew ourselves aside behind the cover of a great tomb, whereupon I saw a writing which said, "Pope Anastasius I hold, whom out of the right way Photinus drew. Slow it behooveth our descent to be, so that the sense be first a little used to the sad blast, and then we shall not heed it," the master thus. And unto him I said, "Some compensation find, that the time pass not idly." And he, "Thou seest, I think of that." "My son, upon the inside of these rocks," began he then to say, "are three small circles, from grade to grade, like those which thou art leaving. They are all full of spirits maledict, but that hereafter sight alone suffice thee, hear how and wherefore they are in constraint. Of every malice that wins hate in heaven, injury is the end, and all such end either by force or fraud afflicteth others. But because fraud is man's peculiar vice, more it displeases God, and so stand lowest the fraudulent, and greater dole assails them. All the first circle of the violent is, but since force may be used against three persons, in three rounds 'tis divided and constructed. To God, to ourselves, and to our neighbor can we use force. I say, on them and on their things, as thou shalt hear with reason manifest. A death by violence and painful wounds are to our neighbor given, and in his substance ruin and arson and injurious levies. Whence homicides, and he who smites unjustly, marauders and freebooters, the first round tormenteth all in companies diverse. Man may lay violent hands upon himself and his own goods, and therefore in the second round must perforce, without avail, repent whoever of your world deprives himself, who games and dissipates his property, and weepeth there, where he should jocund be. Violence can be done the deity, in heart denying and blaspheming him, and by disdaining nature and her bounty. And for this reason doth the smallest round seal with its signet Sodom and Cahors, and who, disdaining God, speaks from the heart. Fraud, wherewithal is every conscience stung, a man may practice upon him who trusts, and him who doth no confidence imburse. This latter mode, it would appear, dissevers only the bond of love which nature makes. Wherefore, within the second circle, nestle hypocrisy, flattery, and who deals in magic, falsification, theft and simony, panders and beraders, and the like filth. By the other mode, forgotten is that love which nature makes, and what is after added, from which there is a special faith engendered, hence in the smallest circle, where the point is of the universe, upon which dice is seated, whoever betrays forever is consumed. And I, my master, clear enough proceeds thy reasoning, and full well distinguishes this cavern and the people who possess it. But tell me, those within the fat lagoon whom the wind drives and whom the rain doth beat, and who encounter with such bitter tongues, wherefore are they inside of the Red City not punished, if God has given them in his wrath? And if he has not, wherefore in such fashion? And unto me he said, Why wanders so thine intellect from that which it is wont, or sooth, thy mind, where is it elsewhere looking? Hast thou no recollection of those words with which thine ethics thoroughly discusses the dispositions three that heaven abides not? Incontinence, and malice, and insane bestiality. And how incontinence less God offendeth, and less blame attracts. If thou regardest this conclusion well, and to thy mind recallest who they are that up outside are undergoing penance, clearly wilt thou perceive why from these felons they separated are, and why less wrath justice divine doth smite them with its hammer. O sun that healest all distempered vision, thou dost content me so, when thou resolvest that doubting pleases me no less than knowing. Once more a little backward turn thee, said I, there, where thou sayest that usury offends goodness divine, and disengage the knot. Philosophy, he said, to him who heeds it, noteth not only in one place alone, after which manner nature takes her course from intellect divine and from its art, and if thy physics carefully thou notest, after not many pages shalt thou find that this your art as far as possible follows, as the disciple doth the master, so that your art is, as it were, God's grandchild. From these two, if thou bringest to thy mind Genesis at the beginning, it behooves mankind to gain their life and to advance. And since the usurer takes another way, nature herself, and in her follower, disdains he, for elsewhere he puts his hope. But follow now, as I would fain go on, for quivering are the fishes on the horizon, and the wane wholly over Carus lies, and far beyond there we descend the crag. Inferno, Canto 12. The place where to descend the bank we came was alpine, and from what was there, moreover, of such a kind that every eye would shun it, such as that ruin is which in the flank smote on this side of Trent the adage, either by earthquake or by failing stay. For from the mountain's top, from which it moved, unto the plain, the cliff is shattered so, some path 'twould give to him who was above. Even such was the descent of that ravine, and on the border of the broken chasm the infamy of Crete was stretched along, who was conceived in the fictitious cow. And when he us beheld, he bit himself, even as one whom anger racks within. My sage towards him shouted, "Peradventure thou think'st that here may be the Duke of Athens, who in the world above brought death to thee? Get thee gone, beast, for this one cometh not instructed by thy sister, but he comes in order to behold your punishments. As is that bull who breaks loose at the moment in which he has received the mortal blow, who cannot walk but staggers here and there, the Minotaur beheld I do the like." And he, the wary, cried, "Run to the passage while he wroth, 'tis well thou shouldst descend." Thus down we took our way o'er that discharge of stones, which oftentimes did move themselves beneath my feet, from the unwonted burden. Thoughtful I went, and he said, "Thou art thinking, perhaps, upon this ruin, which is guarded by that brute anger which just now I quenched. Now will I have thee know, the other time I here descended to the nether hell, this precipice had not yet fallen down. But truly, if I well discern, a little before his coming, who the mighty spoil bore off from Dis in the supernal circle, upon all sides the deep and loathsome valley trembled so, that I thought the universe was thrilled with love, by which there are who think the world oft times converted into chaos. And at that moment this primeval crag, both here and elsewhere, made such overthrow. But fix thine eyes below, for draweth near the river of blood, within which boiling is whoever by violence doth injure others. O blind cupidity, O wrath insane, that spurs us onward so in our short life, and in the eternal, then, so badly steeps us. I saw an ample mote, bent like a bow, as one which all the plain encompasses, conformable to what my guide had said. And between this and the embankment's foot, centaurs in file were running, armed with arrows, as in the world they used the chase to follow. Beholding us descend, each one stood still, and from the squadron three detached themselves, with bows and arrows in advance selected. And from afar one cried, "Unto what torment come ye, who down the hillside are descending? Tell us from here, if not, I draw the bow." My master said, "Our answer will we make to Chiron. Near you there? In evil hour, that will of thine was evermore so hasty." Then touched he me, and said, "This one is Nessus, who perished for the lovely Dejanira, and for himself, himself did vengeance take. And in the midst, who at his breast is gazing, is the great Chiron, who brought up Achilles. That other Pholus is, who was so wrathful. Thousands and thousands go about the moat, shooting with shafts whatever soul emerges out of the blood, more than his crime allots." Near we approached unto those monsters' fleet. Chiron an arrow took, and with the notch backward upon his jaws he put his beard. After he had uncovered his great mouth, he said to his companions, "Are you aware that he behind moveth whatever he touches? Thus are not wont to do the feet of dead men." And my good guide, who now was at his breast, where the two natures are together joined, replied, "Indeed, he lives, and thus alone me it behooves to show him the dark valley. Necessity and not delight impels us." Some one withdrew from singing Hallelujah, who unto me committed this new office. No thief is he, nor I a thievish spirit, but by that virtue through which I am moving my steps along this savage thoroughfare, give us some one of thine to be with us, and who may show us where to pass the ford, and who may carry this one on his back, for 'tis no spirit that can walk the air. Upon his right breast Chiron wheeled about, and said to Nessus, "Turn, and do thou guide them, and warn aside if other band may meet you." We with our faithful escort onward moved along the brink of the vermilion boiling, wherein the boiled were uttering loud laments. People I saw within up to the eyebrows, and the great centaur said, "Tyrants are these, who dealt in bloodshed and in pillaging. Here they lament their pitiless mischiefs. Here is Alexander and fierce Dionysus, who upon Sicily brought dolorous years. That forehead there, which has the hair so black, is Azelin, and the other, who is blonde, Obiso, is of Este, who, in truth, up in the world was by his stepson slain." Then turned I to the poet, and he said, "Now he be first to thee, and second I." A little farther on the centaur stopped above a folk, who, far down as the throat, seemed from that boiling stream to issue forth. A shade he showed us on one side alone, saying, "He cleft asunder in God's bosom the heart that still upon the Thames is honored." Then people saw I, who from out of the river lifted their heads and also all the chest, and many among these I recognized. Thus evermore and more grew shallower that blood, so that the feet alone it covered, and there across the moat our passage was. "Even as thou here upon this side beholdest the boiling stream that I diminishes," the centaur said, "I wish thee to believe that on this other side more and more declines its bed, until it reunites itself, where it behooveth tyranny to groan. Justice divine upon this side is goading that Attila, who was a scourge on earth, and Pyrrhus and Sextus, and for ever milks the tears, which with the boiling it unseals, in Rinier da Corneto and Rinier Pazzo, who made upon the highways so much war." Then back he turned, and passed again the ford. Inferno, Canto 13. Not yet had Nessus reached the other side, when we had put ourselves within a wood that was not marked by any path whatever. Not foliage green, but of a dusky color. Not branches smooth, but gnarled and intertangled. Not apple trees were there, but thorns with poison. Such tangled thickets have not, nor so dense, those savage wild beasts that in hatred hold, 'twixt Senina and Corneto, the tilled places. There do the hideous harpies make their nests, who chase the Trojans from the Strophades, with sad announcement of impending doom. Broad wings have they, and necks and faces human, and feet with claws, and their great bellies fledged. They make laments upon the wondrous trees. And the good master? Ere thou enter farther, know that thou art within the second round, thus he began to say, and shalt be till thou comest out upon the horrible sand. Therefore look well around, and thou shalt see things that will credence give unto my speech. I heard on all sides lamentations uttered, and person none beheld I who might make them, whence, utterly bewildered, I stood still. I think he thought that I perhaps might think so many voices issued through those trunks from people who concealed themselves from us. Therefore the master said, if thou break off some little spray from any of those trees, the thoughts thou hast will wholly be made vain. Then stretched I forth my hand a little forward, and plucked a branchlet off from a great thorn. And the trunk cried, why dost thou mangle me? After it had become embrowned with blood, it recommenced its cry, why dost thou rend me? Hast thou no spirit of pity whatsoever? Men once we were, and now are changed to trees. Indeed, thy hand should be more pitiful, even if the souls of serpents we had been. As out of a green brand that is on fire at one of the ends, and from the other drips and hisses with the wind that is escaping, so from that splinter issued forth together both words and blood, whereat I let the tip fall, and stood like a man who is afraid. Had he been able sooner to believe, my sage made answer, O thou wounded soul, what only in my verses he has seen. Not upon thee had he stretched forth his hand, whereas the thing incredible has caused me to put him to an act which grieveth me. But tell him who thou wast, so that by way of some amends thy fame he may refresh up in the world, to which he can return. And the trunk said, so thy sweet words allure me, I cannot silent be, and you be vexed not, that I a little to the discourse am tempted. I am the one who both keys had in keeping of Frederick's heart, and turned them to and fro so softly in unlocking and in locking, that from his secrets most men I withheld. Fidelity I bore, the glorious office so great, I lost thereby my sleep and pulses. The courtesan who never from the dwelling of Caesar turned aside her strumpet eyes, death universal, and the vice of courts, inflamed against me all the other minds, and they, inflamed, did so inflame Augustus, that my glad honors turned to dismal mournings. My spirit, in disdainful exultation, thinking by dying to escape disdain, made me unjust against myself, the just. I, by the roots unwonted of this wood, do swear to you that never broke I faith unto my lord, who was so worthy of honor, and to the world, if one of you return, let him my memory comfort, which is lying still prostrate from the blow that envy dealt it. Waited a while, and then, since he is silent, the poet said to me, lose not the time, but speak and question him, if more may please thee. whence I to him, "Do thou again inquire concerning what thou think'st will satisfy me, for I cannot, such pity is in my heart." Therefore he recommenced, "So may the man do for thee freely what thy speech implores. Spirit incarnate, again be pleased to tell us in what way the soul is bound within these knots, and tell us, if thou canst, if any from such members ever is freed." Then blew the trunk amain, and afterward the wind was into such a voice converted, "With brevity shall be replied to you, when the exasperated soul abandons the body whence it rent itself away, Minos consigns it to the seventh abyss. It falls into the forest, and no part is chosen for it, but where fortune hurls it, there, like a grain of spelt, it germinates. It springs a sapling and a forest tree. The harpies, feeding then upon its leaves, do pain create, and for the pain, an outlet. Like others, for our spoils shall we return, but not that any one may them revest, for 'tis not just to have what one casts off. Here we shall drag them, and along the dismal forest our bodies shall suspended be, each to the thorn of his molested shade." We were attentive still unto the trunk, thinking that more it yet might wish to tell us, when by a tumult we were overtaken, in the same way as he is who perceives the boar and chase approaching to his stand, who hears the crashing of the beasts and branches. And, too, behold, upon our left-hand side, naked and scratched, fleeing so furiously, that of the forest every fan they broke. He who was in advance, "Now, help! Death, help!" And the other one, who seemed to lag too much, was shouting, "Lano, were not so alert those legs of thine at joustings of the topo." And then, perchance because his breath was failing, he grouped himself together with a bush. Behind them was the forest full of black she-mastiffs, ravenous and swift of foot as greyhounds, who are issuing from the chain. On him who had crouched down they set their teeth, and him they lacerated piece by piece, thereafter bore away those aching members. Thereat my escort took me by the hand and led me to the bush, that all in vain was weeping from its bloody lacerations. "O Jacopo," it said, "a Saint Andrea, what helped it thee of me to make a screen? What blame have I in thy nefarious life?" When near him had the master stayed his steps, he said, "Who wast thou, that through wounds so many art blowing out with blood thy dolorous speech?" And he to us, "O souls that hither come to look upon the shameful massacre that has so rent away from me my leaves, gather them up beneath the dismal bush. I of that city was which to the Baptist changed its first patron. Wherefore, he for this forever with his art will make me sad. And were it not that on the pass of Arno some glimpses of him are remaining still, those citizens who afterwards rebuilt it upon the ashes left by Attila in vain had caused their labor to be done. Of my own house I made myself a gibbet." Inferno, Canto 14. Because the charity of my native place constrained me, gathered I the scattered leaves, and gave them back to him, who now was hoarse. Then came we to the confine, where disparted the second round is from the third, and where a horrible form of justice is beheld. Clearly, to manifest these novel things, I say that we arrived upon a plain, which from its bed rejecteth every plant. The dolorous forest is a garland to it, all round about, as the sad mote to that. There, close upon the edge, we stayed our feet. The soil was of an arid and thick sand, not of another fashion made than that which by the feet of Cato once was pressed. Vengeance of God, oh, how much oughtest thou by each one to be dreaded, who doth read that which was manifest unto mine eyes. Of naked souls beheld I many herds, who all were weeping very miserably, and over them seemed set a law diverse. Supine upon the ground some folk were lying, and some were sitting all drawn up together, and others went about continually. Those who were going round were far the more, and those were less who lay down to their torment, but had their tongues more loosed to lamentation. O'er all the sand waste, with a gradual fall, were raining down dilated flakes of fire, as of the snow on Alp without a wind. As Alexander in those torrid parts of India beheld upon his host flames fall unbroken till they reached the ground, whence he provided with his phalanxes to trample down the soil, because the vapor better extinguished was while it was single. Thus was descending the eternal heat, whereby the sand was set on fire, like tinder beneath the steel, for doubling of the dole. Without repose for ever was the dance of miserable hands, now there, now here, shaking away from off them the fresh gleeds. "Master," began I, "thou who overcomest all things except the demons dire, that issued against us at the entrance of the gate, who is that mighty one who seems to heed not the fire, and lieth lowering and disdainful, so that the rain seems not to ripen him?" And he himself, who had become aware that I was questioning my guide about him, cried, "Such as I was living, am I dead. If Jove should weary out his smith, from whom he seized in anger the sharp thunderbolt, wherewith upon the last day I was smitten, and if he wearied out by turns the others in Mongibelo at the swarthy forge, vociferating, 'Help, good Vulcan, help!' even as he did there at the fight of Phlegra, and shot his bolts at me with all his might, he would not have thereby a joyous vengeance." Then did my leader speak with such great force that I had never heard him speak so loud, "O Capaneus, in that is not extinguished thine arrogance. Thou punished art the more. Not any torment, saving thine own rage, would be unto thy fury pain complete." Then he turned round to me with bitter lip, saying, "One of the seven kings was he who Thebes besieged, and held, and seems to hold God in disdain, and little seems to prize him. But, as I said to him, his own despites are for his breast the fittest ornaments. Now follow me, and mind thou do not place as yet thy feet upon the burning sand. but always keep them close unto the wood. Speaking no word, we came to where there gushes forth from the wood a little rivulet, whose redness makes my hair still stand on end. As from the Bullochame springs the brooklet, the sinful women later share among them, so downward through the sand it went its way. The bottom of it, and both sloping banks, were made of stone, and the margins at the side, whence I perceived that there the passage was. In all the rest which I have shown to thee, since we have entered in within the gate, whose threshold unto no one is denied, nothing has been discovered by thine eyes so notable as is the present river, which all the little flames above it quenches. These words were of my leader, whence I prayed him that he would give me largesse of the food, for which he had given me largesse of desire. In the midst there sits a wasted land, said he thereafterward, whose name is Crete, under whose king the world of old was chaste. There is a mountain there, that once was glad with waters and with leaves, which was called Ida. Now 'tis deserted, as a thing worn out. Rhea once chose it for the faithful cradle of her own son, and to conceal him better, whenever he cried, she there had clamors made. A grand old man stands in the mount erect, who holds his shoulders turned towards Damietta, and looks at Rome as if it were his mirror. His head is fashioned of refined gold, and of pure silver are the arms and breast. Then he is brass as far down as the fork. From that point downward all is chosen iron, save that the right foot is of kiln-baked clay, and more he stands on that than on the other. Each part, except the gold, is by a fissure asunder cleft, that dripping is with tears, which gathered together perforate that cavern. From rock to rock they fall into this valley. Acheron, Styx, and Phlegethon they form. Then downward go along this narrow sluice unto that point where is no more descending. They form Cocytus. What that pool may be thou shalt behold, so here it is not narrated. And I to him, if so the present runnel doth take its rise in this way from our world, why only on this verge appears it to us? And he to me, thou knowest the place is round, and notwithstanding thou hast journeyed far, still to the left descending to the bottom thou hast not yet through all the circle turned. Therefore if something new appear to us, it should not bring amazement to thy face. And I again, master, where shall be found Lethe and Phlegethon? For of one thou art silent, and sayest the other of this reign is made. In all questions truly thou dost please me, replied he, but the boiling of the red water might well solve one of them thou makest. Thou shalt see Lethe, but outside this moat, there where the souls repair to lave themselves, when sin, repented of, has been removed. Then said he, it is time now to abandon the wood. Take heed that thou come after me. Away the margins make that are not burning, and over them all vapors are extinguished. Inferno, Canto 15. Now bears us onward one of the hard margins, and so the brooklet's mists overshadows it. From fire it saves the water and the dikes. Even as the Flemings, twixt Cadzen and Bruges, fearing the flood that towards them hurls itself, their bulwarks build to put the sea to flight, and as the Paduans along the Brenta, to guard their villas and their villages, or ever Chiarentana feel the heat, in such similitude had those been made, albeit not so lofty, nor so thick. Whoever he might be, the master made them. Now were we from the forest so remote, I could not have discovered where it was, even if backward I had turned myself, when we a company of souls encountered, who came beside the dike, and every one gazed at us, as at evening we are wont to eye each other under a new moon, and so towards us sharpened they their brows, as an old tailor at the needle's eye. Thus scrutinized by such a family, by someone I was recognized, who seized my garment's hem, and cried out, "What a marvel!" And I, when he stretched forth his arm to me, on his baked aspect fastened so mine eyes, that the scorched countenance prevented not his recognition by my intellect. And bowing down my face unto his own, I made reply, "Are you here, Ser Brunetto?" And he, "May it not displease thee, O my son, in a brief space, with thee, Brunetto Latini, backward return and let the trail go on." I said to him, "With all my power I ask it, and if you wish me to sit down with you, I will, if he please, for I go with him." "Oh, son," he said, "whoever of this herd a moment stops, lies then 100 years, nor fans himself when smiteth him the fire. Therefore, go on. I at thy skirts will come, and afterward will I rejoin my band, which goes lamenting its eternal doom." I did not dare go down from the road level to walk with him, but my head bowed, I held as one who goeth reverently. And he began, "What fortune, or what fate, before the last day, leadeth thee down here? And who is this that showeth thee the way?" "Up there, above us, in the life serene," I answered him, "I lost me in a valley, or ever yet my age had been completed. But yestermorn I turned my back upon it. This one appeared to me, returning thither, and homeward leadeth me along this road." And he to me, "If thou thy star do follow, thou canst not fail thee of a glorious port, if well I judged in the life beautiful. And if I had not died so prematurely, seeing heaven thus benignant unto thee, I would have given thee comfort in the work. But that ungrateful and malignant people, which of old time from Fiesole descended, and smacks still of the mountain and the granite, will make itself for thy good deeds thy foe. And it is right, for among crabbed sorbs it ill befits the sweet fig to bear fruit. Old rumor in the world proclaims them blind, a people avaricious, envious, and proud. Take heed that of their customs thou do cleanse thee. Thy fortune so much honor doth reserve thee, one party and the other shall be hungry for thee, but far from goat shall be the grass. Their litter let the beasts of Fiesole make of themselves. nor let them touch the plant, if any still upon their dunghill rise, in which may yet revive the consecrated seed of those Romans who remained there when the nest of such great malice it became. If my entreaty wholly were fulfilled, replied I to him, not yet would you be in banishment from human nature placed. For in my mind is fixed, and touches now my heart the dear and good paternal image of you, when, in the world from hour to hour, you taught me how a man becomes eternal, and how much I am grateful, while I live, behooves that in my language be discerned. What you narrate of my career, I write, and keep it to be glossed with other text by a lady who can do it if I reach her. This much will I have manifest to you, provided that my conscience do not chide me, for whatsoever fortune I am ready. Such handsel is not new unto mine ears, therefore let fortune turn her wheel around, as it may please her, and the churl his mattock. My master thereupon, on his right cheek, did backward turn himself, and looked at me, then said, He listeneth well, who noteth it. Nor speaking less on that account, I go with Ser Brunetto, and I ask who are his most known and most eminent companions. And he to me, To know of some is well, of others it were laudable to be silent, for short would be the time for so much speech. Know them in some, that all of them were clerks, and men of letters, great and of great fame, and the world tainted with the self-same sin. Priscian goes yonder with that wretched crowd, and Francis of Accorso. And thou hadst seen there, had thou hadst a hankering for such scurf, that one, who by the servant of the servants was transferred from Arno to Bacciglione, where he has left his sin-excited nerves. More would I say, but coming and discoursing can be no longer, for that I behold new smoke uprising yonder from the sand. A people comes with whom I may not be. Commended unto thee be my tesoro, in which I still live, and no more I ask. Then he turned round, and seemed to be like those who at Verona run for the green mantle across the plain, and seemed to be among them the one who wins, and not the one who loses. End of Canto 11 through Canto 15 of the Divine Comedy. Read by Dennis Sayers in Modesto, California, for LibriVox. Fall, 2006.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.